If we can go real quick, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11, New King James Version, right? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, right? So he starts off there saying, don't forget me, but, you know, the Lord is not saying kind of like, don't forget me the way we talk about forgetting, like, oh, like you'll tell a friend, oh, like, don't forget to write me because they move away, or don't forget to, I don't know, don't forget me, you know, you have to pick me up at 5. It's not just about like momentary or like moments of remembering, right? It's not like, oh yeah, remember, like write yourself a note and remember. This, what he's talking about here is, it says, do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. He's specifically talking there about faith in Jesus, not forgetting, because what he's talking about is by not keeping his commandment. And the commandment of God, where he's referring to in Deuteronomy 8 here, is loving the Lord your God. So he's talking about faith in Jesus Christ, right? The same gospel that was preached to us was the same gospel that was preached unto them, right? Not the gospel, Deuteronomy says, not that which was given to their fathers, not the command that was given to their fathers, he says, but a new commandment. So he was talking about faith in Jesus. And what he says is, so he says, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, in other words, by not having faith, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today, lest that when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And if you look at that, right, there's nothing, when you look at that outside of the context, like eating and are full, in other words, having, you know, your needs are met, you got plenty of money left over, you just built a new home, you're buying new cars, so everything financially speaking, right, everything when it comes to wealth, right, and prosperity, you find yourself prospering. You're prospering, things are going well. And it doesn't just have to be financial, right? Things are going well with your health. Maybe you were having a little spell there where things weren't going that great, and now things are going terrific there. And, you know, health-wise, you're good, and prosper. So you're prospering in all different kinds of areas in your life, which God is not saying it's bad, right? He's not saying it's bad to prosper, right? What he's saying is, he says, don't forget faith in my son. Don't forget about him. Don't forget in what he's done. Don't forget about faith in Jesus. Don't forget, because when you, he says, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, or your silver and your gold multiply, right? Your money, your everything that is yours, and all that you have multiplied, right? Then your heart is lifted up. So that's talking about there when your heart, obviously speaking about your mind, not the organ that pumps blood, right? When it talks about your heart is lifted up, meaning when your mind is presumptuous, when your mind attributes, right, to be kind of presumptuous, is to attribute something to something else that does not belong to that, right? So when your heart is lifted up and you attribute the prosperity that you see to yourself, and a different way to say that is, when your heart becomes presumptuous is that you see what's going on and you're pleased with yourself, right? When you see what's going on and you're pleased with yourself. Now, on the outside, that sounds really arrogant, that nobody would look at that and say, yeah, like that's thinking that happens in my life. But here's something for us to understand. There is a whole lot of things, that we do that we are pleased with ourselves about, right? And there are rewards that you receive even from other people for things that you do where you feel very pleased with yourself. So the thinking here is there are good things happening in your life, right? Positive things happening, things according to wealth and health and all that is yours multiplying, right? And what the Lord is saying is, don't forget faith, right, in Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, continue in what you started. Continue in what you started. And that obviously has application to a person who is not saved and is growing in faith. The Lord is telling them, continue in what you started. And also to believers, the same application, same thing applies, right? continue in that which you started. And what he's saying here is then when your heart is lifted up and you become presumptuous and you forget the Lord your God, and he goes in to talk about who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land. So what he's talking about there is, he says, and you forget the Lord your God who saved you, right? In other words, all that the deliverance out of Egypt is a foreshadowing, right, of our salvation. We have been delivered from corruption and taken out of this world, delivered out of everything that is in this world. So what he's saying is, when you see yourself prospering, and it's a pretty cool thing to see, is that the knowledge of Christ will bring you to prosperity and bring you to prosperity surely in every area of your life. He says, when every area of your life is prospering, when everything in your life is multiplying, He said, in other words, don't forget where it is that came from. Don't forget don't forget faith in Jesus Christ, right? What started me on along these lines thinking is, you know, the Lord was just showing me, you know, from Matthew 3, I believe, where he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, and we just sent out that. We just sent out, I think that was a quick read, or it was a social media thing. I don't remember where we sent it, but and what it read was, as we grow more and more in the knowledge of the Lord, or the more and more that we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, the more that we are pleased with the Lord Jesus instead of being pleased with our own actions, right? So the idea is, it's not that you can't take pleasure in things, right? And that when things are going great, that you are not filled, that you are not pleased, right? The Lord is not saying don't be pleased. The Lord is saying don't be pleased with yourself, as though, and he's going to say it here in a second. He fed you with man in the wilderness, he says in verse 16. So if we jump down to verse 17, he says, then you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. In other words, you're pleased with your behavior. You're pleased with your actions. You're pleased with your performance, right? When things occur in our lives and we begin to prosper in many areas of our lives, and our heart then is lifted up and presumptuous because we begin to think, we become very pleased with ourselves, right? In other words, to read that and say, because it is my power and my might that has gained me this wealth, we don't say it in that many words, but what the Lord is talking about it there is that the reason why at Reformed Church and I pray in churches around the world that what is continually preached is the gospel, right? It's something that even Pastor Mike was praying about early on in the service today, is that we would be reminded constantly of the finished work of Jesus Christ, of the reason why it is that we have and possess everything that we have, the reason why we are who we are, the reason why we have been made a new creation, the reason why we are forgiven, the reason why. And the reason why is because it is He, right? Because it is He. In verse number 18, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He. And you shall remember the Lord your God, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish the covenant that He made, right? For it is He, right? And the issue with us, you know, as we grow more and more mindful of the Lord, right? And that means exactly that, right? As we grow, as our mind grows more and more full, right? When people say you want to be more mindful of that, you want your mind to be more full, right? As your mind is more full, and you're, in other words, speaking about the renewing of your mind, that your thoughts are more like the Lord's thoughts, then what happens is you become more pleased with the Lord than you become pleased with your own actions. Now, there's a really cool side effect to that, right? Is that when you're an individual that's not very easily pleased with his own actions, but instead you give glory to God, right? So you see yourself prospering, and you know, instinctively you know, from what you have on the inside of you, you know, you give glory to God because you thank God for everything that he's already done for you, and that's why you've been prospering, right? But what that also does is that when your actions are not quite right, then you're not beating yourself up, right? Because if you don't pat yourself, in other words, if you don't pat yourself on the back when everything is going right, right? And when things are going wrong, you're also not the one condemning yourself either, right? And actually, if we just jump over there real quick to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3. Actually, let's just go to verse number 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Right, and it starts off saying, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now that's an important thing, right, that he's saying there. That there's no condemnation for us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what he's saying in there is that there in the flesh, right, the Lord says that the flesh profits nothing, right? So in other words, the Lord did, and he's going to say it in a second, the Lord did what we could not do. If you take all of the good, supposed good actions of every human being in the entirety of the world, right? So people that are apart from Christ, that don't walk according to the Lord, you take all of their good works, right? And leave supposedly their bad works, but take what they call their good works and you put them all together, you still have people that can do nothing good and still need to be saved, right? So because we have this weird mentality, kind of like that we're good people and then Jesus just comes in to supplement our goodness, that we're actually not that bad. He just leaves our good and then kind of brings in his good and now we're completely good. Kind of like he left you, you know, maybe you were 40% good out of 100, or maybe you were 60% good out of 100. So he just comes in and supplements your 40%. But you know what? We were rotten, no good through and through. So in other words, we could do no good thing. There was none that were good. No, not even one was good. So there was nothing about us that needed to be left. That's why he made us new, right? In other words, there's a time when you fix your car and there's a time when you get a new one, right? He didn't fix us. He made us new. There's a difference between that, right? There's a difference between a new creation and then something that is aged and that is fixed to last longer, right? He made us new and made us eternal. So there was nothing about the old that he wanted to leave in us, right? He made us completely new. That should tell us something right there. The Lord made us completely new, completely new. So there's nothing about the old man, and there's nothing about a humanistic way of thinking that in any way, shape, or form is actually profitable for us going forward, right? The flesh is the mind and the body, and there's nothing about the cravings of your body. There's nothing within your mind. There's nothing within this body apart from Christ that is of any profit whatsoever. Now, the Lord obviously works in our mind, and this body is the Lord's for him to do, right, and for him to work. So of course, yes, can we that are saved, right, have right desires and do right things, right? Of course, right? You can see there's a difference between you feeling very pleased with yourself because you just did something, like you helped your wife, or you helped your husband, or you helped your mom, or you helped your dad, or you helped a neighbor, or you helped a person that was poor, or you gave here, or you gave there, right? There are people that do stuff like that all the time, and they feel very pleased with themselves. And they'll even say it, you know? It just gives you such a good feeling inside when you do that. What they're saying is that they're breaking their arm off, patting their back because of what they just did. They feel very good about themselves. They don't feel good about somebody else. They feel good about themselves. It feels good to them to having done a good thing, right? But the Lord is not talking about pleasure. The Lord is pleasure is fine. The issue is, in whom are you pleased? As our thoughts become more like God's thoughts, our pleasure will be in the Lord for the exact same looking action, right? Where you could both give to the poor, and this person over here is very pleased with themselves, and a person over here that gives to the poor, right, as the Lord is working through them, right, rejoices in God, right? Rejoices in God to be able to have the power to wealth to be able to give, right? Rejoices in God to be able to give to an individual that has a need that may then be able to hear the gospel so that they can receive the full salvation that the Lord has provided for them, right? So there's a difference. There are actions and there is pleasure, and the actions are fine, and taking pleasure in something is fine. But see, when we can take pleasure in something because we know what the Lord is doing, We're enjoying the whole ride, right? But we're taking pleasure in the fact that this is something God is doing, right? Instead of taking pleasure, again, in ourselves. When people that live that way, that live to either take pleasure in the good that they do, they will condemn themselves in the bad that they do, right? And what he says here, if we can just read it again, in 8:1, Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation, right? No condemnation, no guilt, right? To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, which is not profitable, but according to the Spirit, right, which we have and are able to walk in. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, let me just explain that to you. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh is really saying that the weakness of the law was the flesh. Not that the law, not that the law itself was weak, right? The law is good. But in other words, the command of the law could not be fulfilled because of the weakness of men's flesh, right? Because if men could do it, then it would be good. Well, and I should say like this, it's never not good. Whether men can't do it, which we can't, right, and could not, we could not, but whether men cannot keep the law or whether men could, the law was still good regardless. But the truth of the matter is that he said, this is what the law could not do and that it was weak to the flesh, God did by sending his own son. And you know, it just goes back to the same thing. For it is he, right, that it's him. For it's him. You know, when your mind does not become presumptuous or presume or take credit for the good that you see when you're growing in the understanding of the fact that it is him. In other words, it's what he's already done. When the Lord said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, it's because of what the Lord had done, right? Or what the Lord was going to do. It's because of his obedience to death, right? It was because of his obedience to death, right? The pleasure that the Lord takes in his son because of his obedience unto death. And it was the whole way, right? It was the process of the Lord coming, right? The process of the Lord coming, and every single thing that the Lord went through all the way to the cross. In other words, it was one step after the other, fulfilling every single thing to the T, to take him all the way through to the cross, right? The pleasure that the Lord takes in Jesus, right, is because of everything that the Lord has done. It pleased the Lord fully. It completed the payment for our sin, right? It satisfied God completely. So it's cool to be able to see the Father like that, right? The Father is completely satisfied. The debt of men, completely satisfied. Everything is paid up to date, right? When things are paid in full, when things are as they should be, right? I know that we would look at things sometimes and not really think that things are as they should be, but things with us are as they should be already, right? I mean, we could be waiting for something and thinking, oh, it's not really as it should be, but it is as it should be. I mean, men without the Lord, that is not as it should be, right? Creation as it stands today is not as it should be. You know why? What is it that creation and men without the Lord have in common that they are not as they should be? Right? They're not new, right? In other words, they don't have the Lord. They have not received what the Lord Jesus provided. So because they haven't received what the Lord Jesus provided, they don't have that newness, right? So what you see is that when something is made new, now it is then. When creation is made new, right, then it is as the Lord knows it should be, right? It is as the Lord knows it should be. We that have already been made new, right, We should be coming to a place in our lives where we are beginning to understand, right, that I am already as I should be, right? I am already as I should be. Oh, everything, and there was one of the quick reads actually that Pastor Mike, I'm not going to try to remember the words that were on that quick read, but it was along the same lines. It was along the lines of that things are already as they should be, right? Things are already right, right? We already have, it was around the fact that we already are in perfect health, where people would look at their health and they would say, well, no, I'm not, right? Well, but again, that's what happens when you forget not the Lord, when you forget not the Lord Jesus, when you're mindful of the Lord, when you're allowing your mind to be renewed by the Lord, what happens? The same thing that happened to Abraham, right? That he considered not his body anymore. And why? Because the one he was considering was he, right? Right? For it is he that had given him the power, right, to health. So he understood what he had received as an inheritance. He understood the things that he was walking in. And it didn't come to him overnight, right? It was years before he walked in, even in the things that he was walking in, it was years. And he didn't walk fully, right? But so even in the things that he was learning from the Lord, it took him years to learn those things. But the point is that he learned the Lord, right? And he came to a place in his life where he did not consider, right? Where he did not consider the things that he was seeing, but he considered the Lord. The thing is, we a lot of times we put that around the parentheses of negative things, right? But Abraham needed to learn even when things were going right, not to consider those things, but consider the Lord, right? So it's not in, it's regardless of how things are going, it's knowing not to consider his body when he is the symbol of health and he's, you know, got an Arnold Schwarzenegger body and he's looking all ripped and his health is great, his blood pressure is awesome and his cholesterol levels are down. And you know what, if you're living in that place, to be able to attribute and not consider your body and become presumptuous that it is my fitness level and my exercise regimen that has bought me the health that I have, but that it is the Lord that has given you the health that you possess, that what you have as an inheritance from the Lord is yours. In other words, attributing the things that you have to him. And you can say, well, you know what, but how is that, right? Because the thing is, everything that we have, right, all the things that are happening positive in our lives, you know what, you were made new completely. You were made a new creation. So that means that everything, every good thing in my life, right, I attribute to the things that the Lord has done for me. So in other words, the acknowledgement of the Lord on a constant basis, I don't want you to think that it's kind of like a nickel and dime thing, right? That it's always just going through your day and waiting for something good or bad to happen to give glory to God. It's just that you live by faith, right? You live by the acknowledgement of the Lord. Like, this is what you do day in and day out. So it's not about, you know, you don't have to stop and think, is this something that I should give glory to God about or not? Right? But when in my heart I want to praise the Lord, I'm going to praise him. No matter what it is that I'm looking at, I'm going to give praise to God, right? And so the idea there is that as you know the Lord more and more, and his thoughts are becoming your thoughts, and his ways then are more and more becoming your ways, you will begin to take more pleasure in the Lord than you ever did, right, in your own actions. You know, so whether that be, and you know, we got people in all kinds of different ages here. So whether it be that, you know what, that you did really well on your report card, that your grades are going good, that you got into a good school, that you have a good job, that, you know, financially, you know, things are in a better place now, that you're not, you know, you're getting out of debt, that, you know, your health has been better, that you haven't had an episode of this in a long time, whatever it is, right? That we would not be people that are mindful and take pleasure in the way things look. You even remember the time that the disciples went out casting devils, right? And they came back to the Lord rejoicing over the fact that how awesome is this, that even demons are subject unto us, right? And the response that the Lord gave them, he said, don't rejoice, right? Don't take pleasure in the fact that demons are subject, right, unto you. But he says, but instead, rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, rejoicing in what I have done, which is how you have what you have, right? Rejoice, in other words, again, rejoicing in the Lord. There are a couple of places. Let me see, I can bring you to something similar to this. Yeah, and I don't know, were we going to that verse? If you have it up, we'll go ahead and we'll read it. If you have that specific one up, yeah. Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So you see how cool that is? He's not saying don't rejoice at all, right? In other words, he's not saying, you know, when you cast out a demon, you know, just go away really somber. Be like, yeah, I'm glad that happened. Or, no, oh, I'm not glad because I'm not supposed to rejoice. He's not saying don't rejoice. He's saying just rejoice the right way, right? Rejoice in the fact that the things that are happening because of what the Lord has done. So it's not about rejoicing because I was able to cast out a demon. It's rejoice because of all of these things that occur, you understand the reason why they happen. You understand the reason why they're occurring, right? It's not like, I don't know that Abraham was upset, right? When his son was born, I don't know that Abraham was upset when he was able to see the things that he was seeing. It's not about not getting happy. It's not about not rejoicing. It's about rejoicing the right way, right? It's understanding what it is that you're considering that's causing you to rejoice, right? What is it that you're considering that's causing you to rejoice? And there's a lot of people that obviously when good things happen, they say, oh, just thank God. But that thank God is the farthest thing from their mind in that thank God is actually God. They're rejoicing in the fact that this occurred, that this happening, and that this is going good. Oh, thank God that I've been, you know, cancer-free from whatever. But are they really thanking God for the health that they have? Or are they just thankful that it hasn't happened again, but are fearing that it will occur? Right? Because that's the thing. With people that are living in what, and I forget the word, it's like an R-E word, in like remission, right? That's a horrible way to live, right? Living kind of like you're waiting for it to happen. Kind of like it's not really been taken from me. I'm just holding out and hopefully that this thing stays in remission. So in other words, it doesn't pop or rear its ugly head around. But see, but when you're not considering your body, but you're considering the Lord, there's no remission there. You don't find a name for health that is not sure, right? You don't have to find a name for health that is not sure, because that's all remission is. Remission is, it's almost kind of like you're getting a reprieve, but there's a probability that it can come back, right? With the Lord Jesus, there is nothing like that. It's what he's done and what he's finished. And however many times something occurs or however many times something happens, our assurance remains the same in just him. So it's not, has it happened again? See, if your mind changes when something occurs again and you're wondering, well, I wonder if I was really healed or if I, then all that we're saying is our focus is not on Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's not what we're learning, right? Because if that's what you're learning, nothing's changed. Jesus was still crucified for you, right? He still took your sickness. He still took your disease. He still took sin and death, right? In other words, those things still have no power over you. You are still the Lord. So nothing there changes. But when our mind is uncertain, and we don't know if we've been healed, that just shows an uncertainty in what we believe about the Lord. So we need to do what? We need to continue in that which we started, to be able to come to a place of assurance, which that place of assurance obviously does not doubt, right? The place of assurance does not doubt. When you're assured in an area of your life, you're assured, and then you continue to allow the Lord to work, and you'll grow from that, right? But assurance is definitely a good thing. Assurance is definitely a good thing. So if we can go, let me bring you real quick here to Galatians 6:12. Galatians 6:12. And he says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, here's an interesting thing he says there. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh. Like, what does that mean, right? That means that it's all about appearance, right? That there are people where it's all about the appearance. It's not about the Lord and what he's done. Their actions are driven by appearance, right? But we don't have to be people that live like that, where it's about showing the right appearance. In other words, portraying the right thing. So our lives are not about portrayal. Our lives are about fruitfulness of the Lord, right? So the things that are seen are the fruit of the Spirit of God through you. We don't have to be people that are preoccupied with making a good show in the flesh, right? And he says, these would compel you, in other words, to be circumcised. So even though they were listening to the Lord and learning about faith in Jesus and accepting things about the Lord, they were still encouraging people to be circumcised, right? Because they didn't want to go, as it were, like too far down the Jesus camp. They wanted to kind of stay in both camps, right? So obviously that's a person that's still very immature, really a child in their faith, right? Galatians 6:13, verse 13 says, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, for they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." Right? So there is obviously a being pleased with yourself, and then there is a thing with being pleased with other people, right? Making a boast in your own flesh or making a boast in someone else's flesh, right? So there is, you know, there are things, you know, that my kids have done, right, as they were growing up. But it's interesting that as I was learning the Lord, I would feel like an uncomfortableness to say, "Oh yeah, because I'm just so proud of my son," right? Because what are you saying there? You're saying that what he has, that I am saying that what he has. Or if I say, "Oh, I'm so proud of my daughter," like, you know, she's married and she has, you know, she has a baby, or "I'm so proud of my son because of this." What I'm saying is I'm attributing what they have to them, right? And then feeling pleasure, taking pleasure in them, right? But me knowing what I know that where they both are today, right? Where we are as a family, where we are as a church, where you are as individuals, right? We are there, the where we have prospered in areas and the decisions that have been made right, have been made because of the fact that we have the Lord, right? So I don't have to say, "Oh, I'm so proud of my son." If I would say that, and there are times where it's fine to say that. Because I can say, "You know what? I'm so proud of my son. I'm so proud of my daughter," right? I'm so proud of the people of our church, right, that we have done well. We have put our faith in Jesus Christ, right? So I can feel pleased, right, that I see faith in the lives of people, right? I can feel pleased, and the apostles would say the same thing about churches, that they were so pleased or so happy to hear that they had continued in the faith, that they had continued in the word of God, listening to the Lord, right? So obviously, when you see faith in someone, we've talked about that before as far as imitating, right? If you're going to imitate something from someone, imitate their faith in the Lord Jesus. If you're going to be looking at an individual and you feel inspired and feel inspired to listen to the Lord, like you've seen other people be listening to the Lord, right? But really, apart from that, we have to really, as a church, not just us, but right around the world, be able to fit into the category of people that are beginning to understand what it means that it's no longer I that live, but that it's Christ that lives in me. So if it's the Lord living, if the things that are happening, if it's the Lord empowering me towards the things that are doing, right? It's not about me being pleased with myself, right? It's the fact about me being pleased with Him. You know, if you struggle with anything that you don't need to be struggling with, right? Because struggle denotes kind of like you're wrestling with something, right? But if there's something intermittent in your life, it happens and it's not good, right? Or it could be a good thing, right? A good thing that happens periodically that makes you feel very proud of yourself, right? Or a bad thing that happens that makes you feel down with yourself, right? Either of those things, with time and knowing the Lord, right, will eliminate that way of thinking, right? Eliminate that way of thinking. So our thinking is not around being pleased with ourselves or not being pleased with ourselves, but again, it goes back to the essence of the gospel, right? Being pleased with the beloved Son of God, right? Being pleased the same way the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son." In other words, like when the Lord brought that up to my heart. Like, I heard the Lord tell me, and actually, no, you know what's cool? I'll tell you this, because I was thinking about it, and what I said was, I said it like I mumbled it under my breath, is I'm pleased with Jesus. And it was a little weird to say that, right? Because I had never said that before. Like, I had never used those words, like, pleased with Jesus, right? But it's an interesting thing. Like, I should be pleased with the Lord. You know why? Because my Father is. Right? And for the same reason that my Father is pleased with him is the same reason why I would have that thought, right? Because if his thoughts are my thoughts and his ways are my ways, then the pleasure that the Lord has with his Son is the same pleasure that I have with him, right? So then that's obviously, that's what got me along, just thinking along those lines about the Lord and how the pleasure that we take in our own actions could be so easily done away with as we just continue to grow in faith in Jesus. You know why? Because the more and more that your mind is renewed, you know what's happening? More and more your mind begins to lift up the Lord, right? Instead of having a presumptuous mind that applies the credit to you or to another human being, right? Or to you or to another person, right? Your mind continually attributes things to the Lord. Continually attributes things to the Lord. If you do something wrong, it attributes the fact that the Lord has already taken that on the cross. In other words, think whether good or bad, the things need to be attributed to the Lord to what he's done, right? If it's a good thing, the reason why it's happening is because of what the Lord completed on the cross. If it's a bad thing, the Lord did something about it on the cross already anyway, right? So regardless, right, you understand, right, how we are already, right, full, how we are already complete, how we already are brand new, right, been made new. And where our hearts will continue to go back to is one thing, for it is he, right? And I keep remembering that. For it is he that has given me the power to get wealth. But you know what? I could use that for so many things. For it is he that has given me the power to wealth. For it is he that has given me the power to health, right? For it is he that has given me the power to prosper. For it is he that has given me the power to multiply all things within me, right? And actually, there's something there. There's something there, and I was just remembering. I'll close with this if I can find it quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18, and we're going to wrap up there, I believe, right? For Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which we swore to your fathers as it is this day." You know the cool thing about that? I like the wording there so much because, you know, we say that a lot, that the Lord is able, from what we have on the inside of us, that's able to be multiplied unto us, that, right, that grace, the grace of God, everything that has been freely given to us, right, can be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of him, right? As we grow in the knowledge of God, that which is inside of us can be multiplied unto our body, can take the form of health or wealth in our body, can health or wealth to other people, right? So the cool thing is, but what he says is, it's like this is something that he's working in you, right? That he may establish it. In other words, that he wants to take what's in you, right, and bring it out of you, right? That goes along with what the Lord says about working out your own salvation, working out the salvation that is in you. He said that he may establish the covenant that he made with you. In other words, he has a covenant with us already. He lives on the inside of us. And we that are already is his, right? He wants to take and work that out of us, right? He wants to make that apparent. He wants us to receive from what he's given, you know. And I think that's a really I was going to say pretty. I won't say beautiful, but I think pretty is just for some reason just seems fitting. But it's just such a cool thing to know that it's all about what he has already given and already supplied to us, right? Like how pretty that is, like how right it is that we are able to live lives just always on the receiving end of everything that he's done, always on the receiving end, always receiving, always. See, if you put yourself in that posture, always receiving, because of you're growing, there's no such thing as growing in the knowledge of the Lord and not receiving. And we talk about that, right? The ABCs of receiving from God. But just think about it like this. The ABCs of just receiving. As you grow in the knowledge of him, you're growing in the knowledge of what he's done, which was for you to receive. How can you not receive from God, right? It's not about learn from God and then you'll know how to ask him right to be able to get stuff. It's that the ABCs of receiving from God, faith in Jesus always ends up in receiving, because that's all you're learning is how he gave something for you to receive, right? The cross was about him giving something, paying for something, right, that you were going to need to pay, right? And he paid the price, and he purchased us, and he made us new, and he enabled us in every single way. He enabled us in every single way to be able to have everything that we needed to be able to receive everything that he gave. So why is it that when you know the Lord more and more, you end up receiving from the Lord? Because that's the only thing that you're growing in the knowledge of. When you're not growing in the knowledge of Christ, right? The reason why it's so difficult to receive, because that's the only way to receive It's just funny. It just seems so almost silly in my mind to say it any other way. Jesus gave for us to receive, right? He gave everything unto us, right? If you don't, if our minds are not renewed to what he gave, how can you receive from God? Right? Everything about the Lord is about us receiving. Everything that he did, everything that the Lord took pleasure in his son for, right, was for our receiving. So if that's not the gospel that we're learning, if we're learning some other gospel, we're going to find ourselves with difficulty receiving and confused about why we're not receiving, right? But it's because, again, why? Because the ABCs of receiving is the cross, right? The ABCs of receiving is what he did, because that is what enabled the Lord to provide, right? So it's just such a cool thing to be able, you know, when your thoughts become more and more, as your mind is continually renewed more and more, and, right, you find yourself constantly being pleased with the Lord. And can I tell you something? That's really where the right praise comes from. You know, when you have praise for God, when you're praising him, that's when praise feels so right, right? Because I know that there's people that love to praise men and honor men. But you know, I even when you see men that sacrifice their lives, right? There are things that you can be grateful, right? That somebody did. But the thing is, you know what? We have a habit of rewarding people in excess. In other words, rewarding people with honor, rewarding people with prestige, rewarding people, even rewarding our own children, right? Rewarding people that are able, right, to take advantage of what the Lord has done, and yet, so we reward and we esteem and honor people that don't know the Lord and don't are actually, when in actuality, a person that knows the Lord, a person that is teaching you the Lord, a person that is their mind is growing, right? Your mind growing in the knowledge of the Lord, right? People like that, right? You in your business, at your job, right? Those are the people that should be esteemed and not lightly. Those are the people that should be honored. Those are the people that should be promoted. You know why? Because the promoting the people of God, people that are constantly having their mind renewed, are for the benefit, right, of whatever business that is. Even Potiphar, even Potiphar promoting Joseph, if I got those names right, I think it was Potiphar, right, the Egyptian that promoted Joseph. He just saw, you know what, the Spirit of God is with this man. So in other words, he, as a man not even knowing God, was attributing the actions of that man to the Lord, and therefore very wisely put that man in charge of his whole household, right? So it's just interesting how we give honor, I mean true honor, the way people give true honor to people, really, that, you know what, there is thanksgiving to be done and thanksgiving to be given to people, but we give people the impression that the more that you sacrifice your life for me, the more honor that you deserve. And as weird as that is to say, right, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that the people to be honored the most are people that have laid down their lives for other people. Right? The honor, the one that deserves honor and praise, is the Lord Jesus, who has laid down his life for the world, right? So in actuality, if you really look at life and eternity, right, I should be able to be in a position that I could be a protector, I could protect other people supernaturally and not have to die, right? Where I could be doing things where it would be quote unquote dangerous, or have a job that is dangerous, but not live with the fear of death, or not thinking that part of my job is to put my life in danger, and if I die, it was just part of the job, right? It's just an interesting way, the way we honor the way we honor people because of the sacrifices that they commit, but yet the people that are, so we have a tendency, to honor, and I say we just generally speaking about people, we have a tendency to honor people in their death, on their way to death, or that are already dead, right? If you have a job that puts you near to death, we honor you, right? If you have a job where you've endangered yourself and you're almost dead, we honor you. If you have a job where you ended in death, then we honor you in your death. But we don't honor the living that are giving people the gospel to that life. That's a weird thing to me. That's a weird thing to me, that our honor just seems skewed and misplaced, right? I'm not saying that there is not thankfulness to be given. If somebody does something terrific for you and you thank them, I'm not saying that thankfulness is not there, but honor, right? Those are things I just think are better reserved, but we'll leave that there. We'll leave that there. So let's go ahead and let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We do, Lord, thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything that you have done. For everything that you have done, Lord. For we're not taking anything away, Lord, from firefighters or taking anything away, Lord, from men that are in the armed forces or women that are in positions like this, Lord. But it is, Lord, we should be able to have an armed forces full of people that know you, that don't live with any fear of death, that know that they have already, that you have already conquered death for them. Lord, that if they are shot, that the bullets would not even hurt them, Lord. That if they were to be attacked, Lord, that they would find ways of escape. That all of these things, Lord, would be you working it out for a nation with so many people in it that say that they know you. That we would be able to work as a nation and spread out, Lord, into a world, Lord, of people that live by faith and not by sight. People that don't consider human things, but people that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, but what we do is, Lord, is in people's desire to reward and honor men, they forget the Lord. They forget you, my Father. And what you're doing in us, Lord, is the exact opposite, Lord. Forget not the Lord, for it is He. For it is He. Thank you, Jesus. For it is He. Thank you, my God. For it is He. For it is He. Thank you, Jesus. So what we want, Lord, what we want for police officers and people of the armed forces and firefighters is the same thing that we want for every human being. Every human being, Lord, that they would all come to know you. And whether it be their lives in danger because of their job or their lives in danger because of death, the lives of people are in danger to death regardless of whether they have a dangerous job or not. And it is all just because of sin and death, which you, Lord, have already corrected and fixed and gave us a way out of. So what we want for all of these people, Lord, is the same thing that we have in us right now. The life that we possess, eternal life, and power to all these things by your Spirit, my God, because of everything that you have done and finished for us on the cross. For that, my God, we praise you. For that, we consider you. For that, we look to you, Jesus. And for that, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would continually renew our mind to continually be able to see what you have already done. We are so pleased with you, my God. We're so pleased with you, Jesus. Amen.